There is a lot of different options, right? And I think sometimes people struggle with looking at things from outside the box kind of mentality, right? So I think a lot of times we have this misconception that we always have to either throw money at the problem or have a lot of money to be able to solve the problem. And a lot of times it's not true. There's a lot of really good option out there if you're just willing to see it from a different lens, so to speak, right?
That's right. Yeah, absolutely. And also, I always say the most powerful thing you can have more than money is the mindset. It's all
for
about
sure.
Mindset. Man cave, watching a lot of YouTube videos, it's just us constantly just watching.
Yep.
Yes, you have to put a lot of efforts. You have to put a lot of your time, but be focused, but it's all about your mindset.
Hey guys, and welcome back to another episode of Financial Mastery Simplified. I am your host, Jacqueline, or Jax Kreider. And today we have Mr. Cherie on with us, and he is an amazing entrepreneur. He has done fabulous things over the course of his career and has come from some very unique situations. So welcome, Cherie. Tell us a little bit about yourself. We're excited to be on the podcast today.
Thanks, Jax. Thanks for inviting me. Yeah, so my name is Cherie Varma. I'm the chairman of two businesses. I have two hats. One is a sport business called iSport Connect, which is the world's largest private network. And the other hat is the property investment business called Varma Properties Group, which is my last name. So I'm the founder of both businesses and the chairman of both businesses. So yeah.
That's awesome. Well, and you kind of have a little bit of a unique story of kind of how we got there. And when we were talking a little bit before the show about like what path we're going to go down, because you, like me, we like money. And so we probably could go down about 14 different paths we really wanted to. But we were talking a little bit about, you know, how you sort of got into this. Like, so give us a little bit of background about maybe like where you came from and kind of what this road looked like for you as you walked down this path.
Yeah, no, totally. So it's a typical immigrant family story. My parents and me, we came to UK with £150 in their pocket, and we survived probably 3 to 4 months with that money. We stayed in the same house with another 3 other families, and we survived 3 to 4 months. So that also gave me the drive to be somebody, because you know I knew what money means and the finance and everything else means, because we didn't have any. So that's,
sure.
that gave me the drive. So even when I was doing my degree, I did master's in business administration. While I was doing it, those days, the websites were coming into the picture, you know, the .com boom, etc. So what I did was I learned how to do the websites and everything else. So in the evenings, I was learning. And then during the day, I used to go to the restaurants and the local shops, etc., saying, there is something called websites, which is going to be a big thing, and I can build it for you, charge this much and everything else. So I built websites while I was doing my MBA and sold it to a lot of people. And I was using that money to pay the university fee. And also even in the weekends, I was doing something called, we call it cardboard sales, which is basically every house, if they're throwing stuff, you just put them all in the back of the car and you sell it in an open area, an open field. So I used to go and ask my mates, my friends, my parents, if you have anything to throw. And then I used to collect them, put in the boot of, we call it car boot, which is the back of the car. And I used to sell stuff and I used to just, use that money as well. So I was constantly just looking for making money using my time. So that was my journey. And then I ended up in Formula One and I had a few other industries, but I was always constantly trying to progress. Every year I was trying to see how can I be better. And then eventually I ended up in Formula One in a business, media business within Formula One. And I worked there for a few years and then I realized I need to start my own business. And then I left Formula One, used my contacts and my networks to start my own business called iSport Connect, which is now the world's largest private network. And I started with nothing. I didn't have any money, but I used my network. It's all about collaboration. And, you know, people say, oh,
for sure,
you need to have money to start something. No, I'm a live example of not having much money to start anything. But you need to have the right mindset, right network, then you can start anything. So that's how I started iSport Connect back in 2010, with a mission to bring together sport business professionals under one umbrella. So 14 years later, we are now the world's largest private network. So I started with myself and an intern, because you didn't have to pay the intern because I didn't have any money to pay. To now, we have 20,000 members, We have a good team who's behind iSport Connect, and it became the world's largest private network. So that 14 years, it's not an easy journey, but you know, I had a lot of obstacles and everything else. But yeah, it's been a successful journey. But during COVID, that business suffered a little bit because obviously we couldn't do what we used to do at events, and because we do conferences and a lot
For
of other
sure.
things. And then what I did was that, okay, now this is service-based business, and I need to have some asset-based businesses as well, because if another COVID happens, you know, what will happen to my business? So I learned my lesson and I started looking into properties. So I obviously read the book everyone talk about, you know, The Rich Dad Poor Dad by Robert
Sure.
Kiyosaki, which is the Bible of property businesses. And it really gave me the sort of boost to get into the property business. So and then I started asking a lot of started watching a lot of YouTube videos. And then I asked a guy who was doing property developments, and I asked him if he can mentor me. And then he actually showed me how he was doing it, using very little money of his own. And he was raising investors' finance and get the right deals so that he can add value, and then he can refinance and then pay that money back to the investors. And that opened my eyes, because before I thought, oh, you need to save a lot of money to start
Right.
properties. Property investments. Then, yeah. So my first deal didn't. I put probably £5. That's it, you know. And then
That's
I,
crazy.
yeah. And I raised around 150,000. It was a small, you know, one bed flat because I wanted to test it. £150,000 is a repossessed property by Barclays Bank. So I got it for below market value because every flat in that street was around £280,000. So I got
Nice.
£150,000. I added value by moving the kitchen to the lounge and made it as a two-bedroom flat. So one bed to two bed, and also it has a few other things needs to be done. So I solved the problems, moved from one bed to two bed, and so then the value was 280, and then £280,000. And I went to a bank to refinance, and they gave me 75% of 280, which was enough for me to pay all the money that I raised. And it really
Right.
opened my eyes. And then I was giving investors not only their money plus 10% as their interest. And then that was the beginning of my property business. That was only 4 years ago, and now I've got around £7 million worth of portfolio,
It's awesome.
58 tenants or units. With around half a million, more than half a million rental income. And
Yeah, I
that's
think a
all.
lot of people, they make the mistake of believing that you have to have money to make money. And I'm not saying that it's not easier that way. It is easier if you have money and you can get that money to make money, but there is a lot of different options, right? And I think sometimes people struggle with looking at things from outside the box kind of mentality, right? They just see all the very traditional options and like you were raising money by finding a skill set that maybe not everybody had with building websites. And so, hey, I'm gonna go and peddle something. I mean, I know that when my own business hit kind of a lull, because obviously like mortgage and real estate has not been super strong in the last couple of years in the United States. It's gone through its struggles. I had to really pull back and say, okay, like how can I skinny down some of that cost and learning some of the tools, and it's actually allowed me to help some other businesses, like for a fee, you know what I mean? Help
Yeah.
them just because I actually found that I was interested in some of the things that I usually would have paid somebody else to do. So I think a lot of times we have this misconception that we always have to either throw money at the problem or have a lot of money to be able to solve the problem. And a lot of times it's not true. There's a lot of really good option out there if you're just willing to see it from a different lens, so to speak, right?
That's right. Yeah, absolutely. And also, I always say, there's something which is super, the most powerful thing you can have more than money is the mindset. It's all
For
about
sure.
mindset. Like I said, my journey was very difficult. So I could have two personalities. One personality is say, oh, we don't have any money. You know, we came with nothing. There's no way we can, you know, get to where, you know, other people are, and we can't have homes and we can't have nice cars because we can't afford it. Or the other
For sure.
personality, which I adopted, because of my mindset, then no, I don't want to have this life. I want to get to the next level. And how do I do it? You know, so you speak to people, you learn. Nowadays, it's actually much easier. You've got YouTube, you've got podcasts. I mean, you do an amazing job with your podcast and listen to people like yourself and learn and read. You can get tons of things for free on YouTube, etc. So even, you know, the property business, I started learning about it. And I did the mentorship with this guy, but also did tons of YouTube videos. I was watching during COVID every day. Even my wife was asking, what's going on here? You're just sitting in the man cave watching a lot of YouTube videos. And it's just, I was constantly just watching.
Yep,
watching. Yeah. Yes, you have to put a lot of efforts. You have to put a lot of your time, but be focused. But it's all about your mindset.
Stay tuned. We'll be back right after this message from our sponsors.
Imagine having the power to control your financial destiny, no matter where you start. Welcome to the Financial Mastery Simplified course and resource platform, where financial education is tailored to your unique journey. We cover everything you need, from basic budgeting and saving strategies to advanced investing and retirement planning. Learn at your own pace with lessons that match your level of experience. Whether you're a beginner or looking to enhance your financial knowledge, join our community of learners and benefit from shared insights and expert guidance. The Financial Mastery Simplified Course and Resource Platform equips you with the skills and confidence to take charge of your financial future. Ready to master your finances? Enroll in our courses today at the Financial Mastery Simplified Course and Resource Platform. Start your path to financial independence now.
Visit us at fms.tips and fms.college for more information.
Hello, and welcome to PBJ Mortgage, where your homeownership dreams become reality. Today, we want to share why choosing PBJ Mortgage is the right choice for your home financing needs. At PBJ Mortgage, we're built on a foundation of values that drive us every day. Our commitment to educate, empathize, and empower our clients sets us apart in the mortgage industry. Our clients are at the heart of everything we do, and their success stories speak volumes. With years of experience, our team possesses in-depth knowledge of the mortgage programs, ensuring you receive expert guidance and the best possible rates. We offer a diverse range of loan options to suit your unique needs, including conventional, FHA, VA, and more. No matter your situation, we've got a solution. At PBJ Mortgage, we pride ourselves on providing personalized service. Our dedicated loan officers are here to guide you every step of the way, making the process as smooth as making a peanut butter and jelly sandwich. We understand that time is of the essence, which is why we've streamlined our processes for efficiency and convenience. Transparency and clear communication are paramount. You'll always know where you stand throughout your mortgage journey. Reach out to us today to set up a call to discover your options. If you're ready to make your home ownership dreams a reality, contact PBJ Mortgage today. Let us empower you during this exciting journey. Phone number 4-693-733-107, www.pbjteam.com. Visit our website or give us a call to get started. We look forward to helping you secure your future home. PBJ Mortgage, where home begins.
Thanks for your patience.
Oh, for sure. Well, I mean, and a lot of people, you're right. We literally live in a society where you have zero excuse for succeeding, because the truth is that whatever it is you want to do and however you want to find success, the choices and the options are out there. Right. Absolutely. Again, the podcast, the courses, there's so many like things that are free or very, very low cost, right? Yeah. Things that were sort of gate kept, you know, to maybe college level people and things like that. Now you can literally go find online somewhere between $30 and $500 course, right? That's gonna teach you and give you the steps and the tools to be able to get to wherever that looks, right? And then there's things that unfortunately we haven't talked about in college. Like, I mean, part of the reason I started this podcast is I felt like I was lucky to be raised in a family where my mom was very proactive about trying to teach us about how money works and what is the concepts of compounding interest and all these different aspects, right? That is important to kind of understand the foundations of money. But what I learned is even as I went to and get my bachelor's degree, and then later on got my law degree. So many of these people that I was interacting with, these very intelligent, very heavy educated people, had no understanding or concept about how any of the financial space worked. And that kind of just made me a little bit sad. Like, what do you mean? Like, I'll never forget as long as I live. I was in law school. And of course, I was working full time and I was going to night law school. So I was 2.5 hours round trip commute, working full time, going to night law school. And I worked in mortgage at the time. And one of my other, you know, people in class, one of my classmates said to me, "So you work in mortgage, right?" And I was like, "Yeah, I do." And she goes, "So you're like good with numbers and things, right? Like math." And I'm like, "Yeah, I'm pretty good with math." "Why?" And she's like, "Well, then why are you going to law school? Like, all lawyers had to be bad at math or something." And I'm like, "No, we're not all bad at math, just so we're clear." And so it just cracked me up because I just think that a lot of people don't understand some of these concepts. I mean, it's part of the reason I started this is I wanted people to understand the practical things as well as the conceptual things like you and I are talking about. Because I agree with you completely. Mindset, I mean, money is just a tool. It truly is limitless, right? I mean, look at how the United States, like, we print money, right? And it's not even backed by gold anymore. It used to be. But that's not even how our systems are handled anymore. And so the amount of money is truly limitless. I mean, they can literally just continue to print it if they want to.
Absolutely. I mean, I totally agree, because even when I started the property business, you know, if now I raised over 2 million, it was 1.5, and now actually a couple of raises, we just did it. We just hit 2 million pounds. We just raised just from private finance, just from people around me. But if I did say that to my best friend, and he said, when I was about to raise money, I said to him, "I'm going to ask people to raise money and so on." And he was saying, who do you think have money in our network? And I said, "Every single person, unless you ask them, you don't know." So
absolutely.
So even when we went for drinks, I said to my friends and said, "Oh, look, I'm doing this project. I'm looking to raise around £200,000 for this particular project. But I can even take up from £10,000 to £200,000. And I just left it like that. And then when I came back home, a couple of people just WhatsApped me saying, "Oh, you said about that £20,000 investment opportunity. I just spoke to my wife and we got some savings. And sitting in the bank and earning not much interest." So then that made me realize that, you know, you should just, if you don't ask, and you don't even have to ask, you just share. The way I did was I never asked people saying, you know, "Can you lend me money for my investment, my property investment?" I just said, "This is the opportunity. I'm looking for investors who could earn good money. So I'm actually giving you an opportunity rather than I'm asking you money. I'm giving you an opportunity to earn 10% for your money, which you don't get in your bank." But I never asked people directly. I just said, "Ax, you know, I got this project. I'm looking to raise £200,000. I'm looking to give investors 10% if they participate in this round. If you know anyone, just let me know. You know, I'm happy to share the investment deck." And then I leave it. So I'm not asking you directly, but I'm actually indirectly asking you if you have some money to invest in my business. And I left it like that. And people liked that approach. And then a lot of people came to me. And luckily, I built a good network in sport where there's a lot of wealthy people, which also helped me. I do think mindset, and the second thing you need to have is network. Network is and you can build it. You don't have to, you know, again, it's a mindset to saying, "Oh, I don't have a network." If you don't have, just go and build it. You know, just attend the local, you know, business events, or there are so many free networking events as well. So you can build your network as well. So mindset and network and knowledge, those are three things. I think if you can have those three things, you can be anyone.
I tell people all the time, the answer is always no if you never ask a question. Because the truth is that you don't know, just like you said, right? Like, the truth is think about it. I mean, part of the reason that I started this podcast too is because so many people are afraid to talk about money. Yes. It's so faux pas or whatever, right? Yeah. So if they're not really willing to talk about money, you have no idea how much money they have sitting in their coffers, right? Like, you literally have no idea. I mean, some friends are close enough where they might share some of those kind of information. I actually probably know way more about my friends' financial situations than most people, because I've done loans for a lot of them. So we sort of get that intimate picture of their back end. But as a general rule, that's not the case. And so people are so afraid to have these conversations. But the truth is like I said, the answer is always no if you don't ask the question. Absolutely. And so you have to be willing to put yourself out there. And yes, you have to be willing to educate yourself. So if there's something that you don't understand or you don't have knowledge in, then find the information, find the knowledge. And the truth is again, we live in a society where there's the most information we've ever had access to pretty much on demand 24/7.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. That's the beauty of it. I mean, like I said, even my property business, iSpot Connect, when I started, we didn't have that sort of facility, you know, opportunities online and everything else. So I had to invest so much time and efforts to learn about that sort of things. When it came to property, which I only started 4 years ago, it's two different worlds, because I spoke and I had to put so much effort here. I'm not saying I don't have to put so much effort, but these things are available on a little small screen on your mobile. It really helps you. I think we are in a great times where you can access so much information. You can also connect. You know, you talk about network. You don't have to do physical networking anymore. You can do Zoom calls. You can do LinkedIn connections. And, you know, there is a digital network out there as well for you to build. So it doesn't have to be just the physical old-fashioned networks as well.
Yeah, I'm actually in a virtual networking group. And some of the connections that I've made all over the United States, I mean, they've helped me do some really big, significant things. Like I wrote a book last year called Mortgage 101, The Secret Sauce to Home Buying, to really kind of help people have a really clear understanding of like what that whole process looks like getting the loan all the way to, you know, closing on that house and whatnot. And one of the people who helped me accomplish that goal, she is in New York. And there's no way I would have ever met her, right, without that kind of virtual networking. So I think people are, you know, kind of limiting themselves when it's really not necessary. I mean, we live in such a global economy and such a global space. I mean, you and I connecting like this, right? Like, think about it. We scale back, what, even 10 years ago, this wouldn't have even been possible, right? That wouldn't have even been a thing. And like, here we are, you know, different continents, you know, having a conversation because the general concepts about money are the same. It doesn't matter where you are in the world. The UK and the United States have a lot more similarly aligned systems, I would say, as a general rule, than maybe some others, like their stock exchange system and things of that kind of sort when it comes to money. But it is, it's incredible. And I think so many people, they're not creating that proper mindset. And the truth is it's really, really easy to get trapped up in the negative. And it's really easy to get comfortable and whatnot. And the truth is like, we actually have a predisposition, our bodies do, to actually like keep us safe in the sense that, you know, we are basically the creme de la creme, like, right? We survived. Our ancestors are the ones who survived escaping the tigers or the elephants or whatever was going to come and get us, right? And so we are always looking for things that are going to come hurt us and things like that, right? Like as far as like a mentality goes. But we live in a different world and you have to really shape that and you have to look for abundance because abundance exists everywhere. I mean, I tell people all the time, okay, so you're down on your luck and you're, you know, financially maybe not in the best picture. You still live in one of the richest countries in the whole entire world, right? You still ate something yesterday. I mean, think about how many people that's not the case. Like, I understand that those don't feel when you're hashtag first world problems, like dealing with that. But the truth is, we live in a very abundant world society, you know what I mean? And you can shift and change whatever you want pretty easily. You just have to make that decision.
Stay tuned. We'll be back right after this message from our sponsors.
Welcome to Financial Mastery Simplified, your go-to podcast for making smart money decisions. We break down complex financial topics into easy-to-understand advice you can use every day. Our experts cover everything from budgeting and saving to investing and retirement planning. We give you the tools to take control of your money and build the future you want. With Financial Mastery Simplified, you'll feel informed and empowered to make the best choices for your financial health. Tune in to Financial Mastery Simplified on your favorite podcast platform. Start your journey to financial confidence today.
Visit us at fms.tips. and fms.college for more information.
Welcome to House U, where we believe in the power of education. At House U, we're more than just a brand. We're your partner in home ownership, dedicated to educating, equipping, and empowering you every step of the way. Education is at the heart of everything we do. We offer comprehensive resources designed to make home ownership simple and accessible for all. From understanding mortgage options to mastering home maintenance, HouseU provides the knowledge you need to make informed decisions with confidence. We host workshops and seminars, bringing together experts and community members to share insights and build a stronger, more informed community. Because when you're educated, you're empowered. HouseU, home ownership made simple for all. Visit our website or contact us today to start your journey with HouseU. Empower yourself with knowledge and embrace the joy of home ownership.
Thanks for your patience. Now back to our conversation.
Yeah, I mean, if you look at, you know, even my family came from India, except there's so many other countries who are trying to come to UK and US, and we aren't there. So we got that platform already set up for us, whereas people are trying to come to UK and Europe and US. So you have that platform already. So even the people who are complaining that, oh, you know, the platform is there, and it's all about taking that step. And I totally agree.
Yeah, you have to make the decision. Like, we've had some conversations. So my Oma, my mother's mother, was a immigrant from Germany. She married, even though he was 100% full German, he was born in the States, and he went over, he was in the Korean War, and they met, and she came back here. And we talk, like, even with our German relatives and things like that, like, what a big step that was for her, but like how it really changed her life and like what she was able to do. And my uncle, who now owns, well, he's unwound a bunch of them, but he owned at one point about 18 or 20 different companies. I don't know, a lot of different companies. And kind of bootstrapped that from nothing, right? Like, so he took a little bit different path than yourself. What he did was he was working a regular job, 9 to 5, et cetera. And he had a customer who wanted this particular item and his company wasn't willing to provide it. So he went to his higher ups and said, look, you guys don't want to provide this service. Do you care if I do that? And they said, no. And so he started like a separate business alongside of his 9 to 5 and started solving that problem for people. And eventually that grew. So much so that he was really early into China, helping the Chinese with some of their manufacturing aspects and some of their oil production. And so with that, made himself into a multimillionaire, coming from very meager backgrounds, very meager means, right? And so a lot of times it's also just simply seeing where there is a need. And so if you don't want to bootstrap it kind of how you did, where you just knew you wanted to be successful and you were kind of figuring it out, sometimes it's just seeing that there's a problem that exists and being the one who is willing to solve it, right? And that might mean that you have to, you know, I mean, he was working basically two different jobs for a while there, right? Until he could kind of get his company to the where it needed to be and what that needed to look like. Yeah. But so many people are not seeing the opportunity for where the opportunity exists. And opportunity is literally everywhere. It just depends on whatever path you want to take to get to it, right?
Yeah, no, I totally agree. I mean, you could have easily missed the opportunity, you know. So, and that's the thing, the opportunities around us, it's all about opening your eyes and being, you know, always be alert about, oh, how can I solve a problem? And that is a multi-million pounds, probably business opportunity that you just probably miss, you know. And you look at those businesses, you look at it, the whole idea is so simple, but it's solving a big problem. So as long as you think there is a big consumer base, once you solve the problem, you're into something. And then everything else will follow. It just, once you solve that problem, everything will follow.
Yeah, and I think, like I said, it's just really interesting to me the way that people, I think they would rather feel safe and they would rather not push themselves beyond the bounds. And I'm actually in the process of writing a book right now called Ask the Question. And it's about intellectual curiosity. And I feel like intellectual curiosity is actually one of the biggest game changers as far as like a superpower is concerned. And we literally all have that ability because it's so important to not be afraid, like you were saying, to ask the question, because that'll either lead you to getting the resources you were looking for, right, to start the business, or it'll open the door down a path of either building a solid relationship, right, with the person, or maybe finding an answer to something you didn't know. But if you're not willing to just you know, lay yourself bare and just not be afraid to ask a question. And it's unfortunate that as a society, in a lot of ways, in school and things like that, we kind of beat it out of kids and not be, you know, not wanting to ask those questions. But it is, it's truly a superpower, because like you said, knowledge is going to take you everywhere, right? And being able to learn the knowledge and then apply it. And it does, it's game changing, but so many people just don't even dig deep like they should. And it's so simple. I mean, how hard is asking questions?
Yeah. I mean, if you look at Uber, I'm just thinking, but maybe it's not the right example, but the problem they're solving is very simple, you know, just by creating it's a complicated ecosystem you need to build, but the problem and the solution are very simple. You just need to get a taxi rather than standing in, you know, next to the door or road and looking for a taxi. Taxi will come to you, and you don't have to look for money and take money out and pay. It's already paid. So you're solving those problems for the people who take taxis. So it's if you look at a lot of these amazing inventions and businesses, it starts with that, solving that problem that you and me will have. And I totally agree with that.
I think that that's the thing too, is that as you are going through life in general, you have to have growth and you have to have shift. Because even with businesses, you see it, right? Where they get too comfortable and too complacent. I mean, even major brands, they're constantly shifting. They're looking at if they need to rebrand. They're looking at if they need to change and shift things, right? And that's a huge deal, because like we always joke, and I don't know if you guys had this in the UK, but Blockbuster, it was the video store, right? Yeah. And so, of course, back in the 90s, that was like the biggest deal, right? What did you do on Friday night? You went to the Blockbuster and you found yourself some videos, and you rented them, you took them up there to the front, right? And all the things. And they didn't see the shift coming into the streaming platforms, into the way that people wanted to be interact, the way that people wanted things to be more on demand than they were previously, right? People wanted to be able to, you know, click a few buttons and whatever. And they could have capitalized on that. They already had some of the things in place. They could have created or help understand the streaming platform piece, but they weren't willing to make the shift. And I think a really big and important thing in people's lives in general, whether it be you personally or your business, you have to learn to constantly be in that learning mindset and looking for the shifts. Because right now there's a giant shift coming in my industry, and it's been in the process for a minute. The way that we receive leads in mortgage has shifted massively. And so a lot of the people that were earlier and older in the loan officer space, they're struggling worse than some of like the millennial loan officers are. And why? Because the millennial loan officers have shifted and some of those older people have not. And so it is very interesting to see that, hey, no matter how old your industry is, it will constantly be going through shifts, and you could either be right there with it, or I jokingly say, like with AI, you could either be on the bus or you could get run over by it. Your choice.
It's totally, every industry. I mean, even my two industries, property and sport, it have to be. And you look at big brands, you mentioned Blockbuster. I mean, there are so many other brands as well. You know, if you look at the Kodak, the old Kodak, and, you know, so they didn't shift to the digital space, and, you know, obviously that didn't go well. The same with the Nokia with the phones. They didn't get into the smartphone sector and they died. So it's all about, you know, if you don't innovate, you will die as a brand. And that's another thing I always say to my team as well, with both businesses. We have to constantly, we can't be comfortable. You have to be always look for the next big thing, because what we are doing now may not work next year or next 5 years, etc. So you need to constantly evolve. I totally agree with that.
Well, and you were making the comment about your business having to shift a lot during COVID, as a lot of businesses had to, because the way that our whole world viewed everything changed, right? Because now, whereas we always used to be able to physically interact if we wanted to, now that was sort of stripped out. And now everything had to be very digital and very, you know, separate and things like that or whatever. And I think there was some good and some bad that sort of came out of that, right? Because for some people, who dealt like with a lot of mental health things, like that was hard, yeah. Right? Being like kind of trapped and separated out and whatever. But on the positive, it also forced a lot of us to realize that we can collaborate, right? Like that, you know, you and I can get on this, you know, call and have these conversations and things like that or whatever. And it forced us more to go down those paths, even more so than we were already, because we had no real choice. Because that's how you're interacting with everybody.
And it saves time as well. I mean, I still remember one of our clients was La Liga, which is a big soccer, a Spanish league for, in soccer. We used to actually, from the UK, we used to fly once a month to Spain just for a 45 minutes meeting with La Liga. And you waste all day because, you know, you go to the airport, then wait there, and then you take the flight, and then from there you take the taxi, and in Madrid there's a lot of traffic and everything else. You spend all day for this 1 hour meeting, and then you come back and day's wasted. Now you can do that same meeting 45 minutes over a Zoom call, and the rest of the day you can use for some other stuff. And also the best thing about this is that I can also use my spare time, you know, I can have lunch with my family in between my work. I can just go downstairs and have that, and or pick up kids from school. All of that flexibility came with this new post-COVID era, if you like. And I'm enjoying that as an entrepreneur and also as a family man, which is really good for me.
Yeah, no, I mean, there's a lot of positive things. And like when it like comes to money, I mean, the ways that we can make money through the use of technology and the use of, like, you know, looking at our time differently and things like that, I think there's just a lot of opportunity there. And again, I think that's where people miss the boat when it comes to money in general. First of all, I think they're so focused on every traditional means. Yeah. And I mean, I'm just going to tell you, whether you believe this or not, and I mean, most people should know this when it comes to, you know, post-COVID times, no matter how secure you feel like your job is, no matter how, you know, great you feel like your financial picture is, life happens. And the company that you work for all that time, you know, closes up or has to lay off a ton of people or whatever the case may be. And so you have to be sort of in charge of your own destiny, right? Mm-hmm. You have to take it by the reins and not expect that anybody's going to come to you and save you from it. Because the truth is that, I mean, life is going to happen. Trust me, life has been lifing me for the last couple of years in a hard way. Mm-hmm. However, I choose to see the positive. I choose to see the growth that has come out of it from me as an individual and me as a business owner, right? I mean, I think some of the reason I created this podcast, a lot came out of some of that, right? That I wanted people to have resources and allow people to hear some of those stories, not just from me, but from others, right? And so I think so often we sit and come to reality because it is. It's like, even if it's bad, if it's comfortable, it's like, okay, at least I know what this outcome looks like. Yeah. But the truth is, there's just so much on the other side when you force yourself in uncomfortability. And anybody who has significant success, unless they literally just inherited it, which is not a lot of people, I'm telling you that they have decided and chosen to live in the state of uncomfortable.
Yeah, absolutely. And that pushes you, you know, to the next level as well. And if you are just comfortable and doing nothing about it, you don't grow.
Yeah, and I mean, it's just such an important thing to really mention and, you know, go through, because I think just a lot of people don't realize, you know, like I said. And I think, honestly, that might be the reason that immigrants often succeed a lot bigger and broader than people who are born into, I'm just going to say, wealth, even though they may not feel like it's wealth. Like when you look across the United, like the whole world, right, of, you know, and you include the third world countries and the really poor areas. If you're born in the United States, even if you're born into a family or even the UK, like you're born into a family that doesn't have a lot, you still are born into wealth. Yeah. An immigrant, a lot of times, they realize, first of all, the grit that it took to even get to the place like they wanted to go, right? Whether that be America, the UK, Europe, like wherever that place is that they went. And so they are literally born with that feeling of uncomfortable, right? Yes. They know that in order to get where they want to be, they have to be uncomfortable. Absolutely. And my husband has a saying, and for a long time, I didn't really believe it. He says that in order for society to succeed, the lowest of society, it has to be really awful. Mm. Because otherwise, you're not going to force yourself out of the the comfortable place to level up, right? Like you'll just stay in the uncomfortable because even at that lowest rung, the uncomfortable's not, you know, I mean, the comfortable's not that bad.
Yeah.
Right. Like I'm still eating, I'm still surviving or whatever. You almost have to have it be bad enough where you're like, oh, hell no, I don't want to be there. Right. Like I'm going to keep trying to level myself up. And I think that the truth is that it doesn't have to be that way. If you don't want it to be, you could just simply see into the fact that uncomfortable will lead you down the proper path of growth if you just kind of force yourself.
The only thing is that you have to take the right path because it can also have two paths, you know. So you just have to, take that right path, which is good for you. So
yeah, well, that's true. That is very true. We definitely want you to take the right.
Yeah, exactly. And that's where people like yourself can guide with the Financial Mastery Studio and things like that. So people can learn from these sort of podcasts, these sort of courses, to say this is how I should take my next step. When you're going through hard times.
Yeah, no, I definitely agree with you. Well, awesome. Well, this has been so amazing. And I would love for you to give any last minute thoughts. And if there's anything you'd like to offer the audience at this point, Sheree?
Yeah, with my property business, obviously there's a lot of people sometimes come to me asking me for my advice, my thoughts. So for your audience, if anyone is interested, I'm happy to give an hour of my time to guide them on how to get into properties, or even just to pick my brain on a particular deal or anything related to property, which I'm happy to share an hour with that person.
Awesome. I love that. Well, thank you so much. And we really appreciate you being a guest on the podcast. And hopefully you guys got something from it. And remember that it is so important for you to be a little bit uncomfortable, right? Look for knowledge and growth. Go down the path of, you know, understanding that there's plenty of opportunity, but we're going to have the mindset to see it and to be able to step into it. And so again, thank you for watching this episode of Financial Mastery Simplified. We will see you again next week.